Blog Talk Radio. Clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting in victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me.
Come praise the Lord with me, so we can continue to have victory. God make ways that the eyes can't see. Blind third eye see vision, not only sight. Let's praise the Lord, get our minds right. Devils can't defeat thee, we will have victory. Devils can't defeat thee, we will have victory. Never let a soul replace your relationship with God. Being among aliens, things seem odd. Give God glory, he deserves the applause. Give God glory, he deserves the applause. Open your Bibles, read your daily bread. Every day look forward to keeping our souls fed. Devils play with our thoughts, his plans are mind games. Devils are lame, out of control, can't be tamed. Walking around seeing who's the next victim to blame.
Clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting in victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Here's my question, so are you ready? Poets sing bars, about to get heavy. Name's Amori, don't call me Betty. Flow's mythical, like there's a Yeti. Sweet tasting, like a strawberry. Tongue cut slice, like the claws of Freddy. Gotta live your life, one day rock steady. Praise the Lord Jesus, pop this confetti. Some sitting back, too many playing. Get your armor on, demons start slaying. Weak in your soul, time to start praying. Are you listening to what God is saying? More than just hip-hop, no time for no flip-flops. P.I. make this beat knock. Time in, it goes tick-tock. Clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. Washed in the blood and through his love, now I'm feeling so free. He healed my soul and made me whole, and now I'm shouting in victory. So clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me.
Okay, that was a track by me and Amori coming off our new album that we're about to release. We haven't set a date for it just yet, but it's coming and it's coming. You know, all glory goes to God. All glory to God, so clap your hands and do your dance and come and praise the Lord with me. What's up, Jonathan, bro?
What's good with you, Porsche?
Nothing much, you know. I just had I don't know why the devil trying to stop us from talking about this blind faith, man. I had a little issue with trying to sign on. I had to call the phone provider. They like, oh, you still have minutes. I'm like, but when I called in, it told me I can't make the call. I'm like, oh, come on now. See, the devil don't want to see, this is an important topic, you know what I'm saying? And the devil don't want us to get this message across. But, you know, God going to get his glory anyhow. You feel me?
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, we always talk about blind faith, you know, when we chat, and it's always about God, you know. So what I wanted to do with you is just talk about the blind faith, like, you know, let people know what blind faith means to you and as you walk your journey with God.
I believe blind faith, in my definition, is trusting God when everything else is the opposite, where blind faith is trusting and believing God when you don't have full clarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you put your trust and reliance on God when you don't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
About what God is doing, because to me, I can say that little faith is a big circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And a little circumstance equals big faith. So
right.
The less the circumstance, the less the faith I have.
Ooh, that's good.
Because unless there is a big situation, then little faith is not required. Because if God gives me clarity little by little, then I'm dealing with something extremely huge that
mm-hmm.
my little faith is created to
mm-hmm.
put on a big God that can work in big things.
Definitely. So, where are you tested with the blind faith? Like, give me you know, give me some, experience that you went through that you had to walk in blind faith. Like you said, he doesn't give us everything at one time. He gives it to us in bits and pieces so our faith can grow more and more, you know, so our faith could go on different levels with him, right? So, like he said, glory to glory, level to level, the same thing, right?
Right. Faith to faith.
Right. Exactly. So give me some experience that you had to that you experienced the blind faith.
I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was 2007, like late 2017, early 2018. I was at home, and I had my wallet, and I have my cards, my gift cards, and my business cards, and my restaurant card. You know, the little gift cards for food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I had that packed up in my wallet. And I went in the kitchen, and I laid out all of my cards. I organized it, and I put it back in an organizing way. And the Lord led me to leave my house.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking at Richard Jones on "You Got to Make You Laugh," and he said that. Mr. Jones said that. He said, what did he say? The devil is he said that.
All right, take your time.
So he was talking about how if he leaves the house. And his family says, and he tells his family, "I'm on my way out." And he said, "Where are you going?" He says, "I don't know where I'm going, but all I heard is go."
Right.
So I heard go, and I went. And my auntie friend came behind me, and when I was walking, God told me, "Do not turn around and do not enter. Mm-hmm. Just keep walking." And I said, "Okay, Lord." And he comes behind me, and he grabs me by my shirt. And he said, "Where are you going? Did you hear me talking to you?" I said, "No, I did not hear you talking to me. I didn't hear anything." And he told me, he said, "If you walk out, if you walk away, do not come back." So I said, okay. And when I'm walking down the street, the guy saw me, and he was some white guy, not a white guy, like a Mexican guy, somebody. And he told me, "Are you okay?" Because I saw him on Grab You. I said, "I'm okay." And I asked him, I said, "Where is the mall?" Because when I was in the yard raking the leaves, I was in the yard picking the weeds. You there?
Yes, I'm still here.
When I was picking the weeds, the Lord was revealing to me that the Lord wanted me to buy me some popcorn and a small drink. It was like a little advertising on my phone because I was listening to my music. So when I got on the bus, the lady led me to the mall. So at the end of the movie, I went to the movie and I saw a Black Panther. So at the end of the movie, I was chasing after this girl. And she was like 17. I was like 20, like maybe like 28, something like that. And I just running behind her, like she was my wife. And I was just going down the escalator with her, and we went in the parking lot. And the guy that worked there, that was his cousin, he said, "Man, what are you doing? He doesn't want you chasing after her, man. He wants you a little girl," something like that. He told me, "Where you live?" And I told him, "I'm homeless. I don't know where I'm homeless. I left all." And he said, "Okay, we go." So he brought me in his car. We were talking about God, and we were talking about how God speaks to me. And we were going and so on and so on. And then I went to the hospital, and then that was my shelter, because the Lord led me to leave everything, where my trusting in God was my next shelter, where I left my shelter previously before I became homeless. And God provided me a place to stay at the hospital, because that was obedient. Because the Word of God says obedience burden is sacrifice.
Exactly.
So that was one of my experiences.
Wow.
I obey Jesus.
You have to, or you'll get in trouble if you don't obey. Like, you know, if you, because he wants you to obey, because he already has something set up for you. That's where that blind faith come in. It's like when he told you to go and you went, and it's like you didn't know where, because the guy told you don't come back. So he was like, "Okay, if I can't come back, then where do I go?" And it's like God already, right? You know, and God already has set you up to, you know, be in the with the hospital, right? Even though, you know, it wasn't like where you were before, like, you know, in the home where you were comfortable with, but it was somewhere that God still sheltered you, even though you didn't know that He was still going to keep you sheltered in the process of telling you to do what He told you to do.
Right.
Exactly. So, like, you know, we all experience that blind faith, that walking by faith and not by sight. It's like, okay, Lord, I got to be so in tune with you that I can hear your voice, because if I don't hear, like, if I get it confused or mixed up and hearing somebody else, then I'm going to miss what you're trying to do in my life, you know? Like, all of us, like even the desires of our hearts, like, you know, like you said, he gave us bits and pieces of what he's going to give to us and stuff like that. But it's like, still, you have to have that faith of, I can't see everything you're doing for me, but I know that you're going to do it, because your word does say that your word doesn't come back void.
Right. But it would accomplish that which was not to do.
Exactly. So it's like that faith, you really have to have that size of a mustard seed faith to really get by. But man, right? But as you experience more with God and going down the journey with God, you know that mustard seed is all it takes. It's like, I just need just a little bit of faith, a little bit of that little mustard seed that to dig out. I don't need a big old orange or apple, you know.
I mean, I don't need a donkey to think.
Exactly. It's like all I need is that little grain, that little piece of grain, and then I'll be all right. You know what I mean? What are some scriptures that you do stand on to actually keep, like, because you have to walk in with God, everything is blind until he reveals it to you. So, like, what scriptures do you stand on? Like, what in the word do you go to and be like, you know, I mean, because God, he say we could call him out on his word, where God, well, God, you said this and you said that, and you see how everything is going, and I just need clarity on this and on that.
One of my scriptures is trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, and acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm said also, trust in the Lord, and he will perform this.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever God has told me he's going to perform requires trust. Because unless
everything.
I trust, unless I trust the more I control.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot control God. Only God can control God.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. Because how you going to control God? You can't control God. He made you. You ain't made him.
It's what God wants, not what I want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's true. Like, you know, we got to do what God wants us to do. Even because it's crazy, too, like, you know, even though God might tell you to do something, but you still have other people in your ear telling you to do this and do that, you know?
Right.
And it's like, you can't listen to people because they'll throw you off of what God is telling you to do. But if you don't have an ear to hear the Spirit, then you're going to listen to other people, and they're going to make you miss what God is trying to do, because God is mysterious, and he working mysterious. Like, he working ways, like, his thoughts are not our thoughts, our ways are not his ways. So, like, if people really pay attention, the Bible plays out itself in its own way. It's just that if you're looking at it, the word will come to you automatically when you're in the word. Oh, it said walk by faith and not by sight. So I can't walk by what I see. I just got to walk by what God promised me. I need to stand on the word, you know?
Right.
And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the body of Christ, that blind faith is a killer.
Yeah, I hear you.
And it's like a lot of people, faith is not where it's supposed to be. For one, I don't think a lot of people be in a word like they need to be to keep that faith, because, yeah, we have to pray, we have to fast, but it's still like if you're not in that word, a lot of things you won't catch, because the more you have the word in you, the more it comes out of you. Even when you talk, you know, even when people preach or teach or minister or whatever they do, you know, he say, my sheep know my voice.
Right.
Exactly.
Everybody don't hear God, so.
Huh?
The God, everybody don't always hear from God.
No, they
and
don't. And why do you think that?
You see what?
No, go ahead. Finish explaining. I think you were about to answer what I was about to ask you.
I said most people don't hear from God. So they're too focused on their circumstances where the character of this life soaks them.
Mm-hmm.
And they cough up the word.
Mm-hmm. That goes back to the parables, right? When you get the word and you let some snatch it out of you so it don't take deep root in you to, like, let it minister to your soul, right?
Right.
Exactly.
The Bible talks about being rooted and grounded.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God talks about being rooted and grounded in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that scripture means to me that the Word of God also talks about waters of life or something about being rooted, something about the tree of life or something about I think it's somewhere in the song talking about being grounded And something about the water and being grounded or rooted, something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I believe I do, but I just can't fully understand which one you're trying to say, because I'm thinking about the Marvin Sapp song when he's talking about the living water.
Well, it was in Psalms talking about the water, talking about being planted by the tree of water.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that is exactly in Psalms. I'm not too much of an Old Testament scholar, but so it's not about that.
Neither,
I don't mean to be ignorant in the Old Testament.
Nah, it ain't that you're ignorant. You know what you're saying. It's just that, you know, this Bible is so huge. It's like, you know, you can't pinpoint every scripture, but you know, you have that understanding of it, right?
Right. that's me. So,
because you know what, you know, we talk all the time, and then, like, you know, a lot of stuff that you go through is like, you know, God has big things for you, bro. It's just that, you know, we have to deal with so much at a time, and it's like, you know, down the line, your breakthrough gonna come, man, and God gonna do big things in your life because He know you have a heart for Him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, even if people don't accept you, oh, you're welcome, man. Even if people don't accept you, even if people overlook you, you know, God is still gonna position you where He needs you to be, no matter who overlooked you or who won't accept the word from you. Like, you know, when you said sometimes when you're at the mall, and, you know, some people don't want to accept the gospel, right?
Yeah.
But it's still that, you know, like I told you, like the Bible say, if somebody or if people don't want to hear what you got to say, shake the dust off your feet and just, you know, go on to the next. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Keep it pushing.
Exactly. It's like we can't make people believe in the word of God, because to walk in faith, I mean, it takes a lot, you know. I mean, people want to do what they want to do. We don't want to do it God way at times. And it's like, you know, God said, like I wrote earlier on Facebook, God wants to give us our best. He don't want us settling for less.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the thing with that is that it's in His time and not ours. And sometimes we do get impatient and not wanting to wait.
Right.
Have you ever experienced that?
Yes. Yeah. You know, like the Lord was revealing to me about my Mercedes-Benz. And all the time, and God, I'm like, okay, Lord, when am I going to get a car? He says, don't worry about it. It's on me. So that's the Lord said. So. Like, I remember when He told me about Mercedes-Benz, and I said to Him, I said to God, I said, God, are you sure? And I said something, are you for real? Like, are you for real? Something like that, And God told me, He says, I'm always right.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't lie.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to, because to me, I believe that God doesn't mind being rushed, because He understands what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, He is still dominant and powerful, and He has dominion over me, where His strength is made perfect in my weakness, where I glorify God in my infirmities. Meaning, that means to me that I worship God where I am weak, where He sends me to be strong, where He wants me to be strong again, which will overcome my weaknesses and only come from Him. That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah, because our strength, you can't get, where else can you get strength from? I mean, people could uplift you.
The Lord decided my life.
Right, exactly. So it's like, you know, everybody can't give us that strength that God can give us. I mean, you have people that God sets around you that's there to, you know, that could actually breathe life into you, But to gain that strength that you really need, he has to put it in somebody to give it to you like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. It has to be the right vessel.
Exactly. It has to be the right vessel.
Right, because if not, then it'll break and it'll be exposed by the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think that's where people lack understanding that, you know. It's like, yeah, anybody could talk. We all could talk about the gospel, but it has to have some power in it to even strengthen me or uplift me or to keep me going, like, for a certain amount of time. I mean, for, like, a long length of time, because if they don't have that power, if it's not the power behind the word, it's really not going to affect me like I need to.
Because we got to live the gospel.
Exactly.
We have to live it out. Make it a lifestyle.
Exactly.
If the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection, then that means that we have to die to something in order for things to live, so that our resurrection glorifies Jesus, where he gives us the ability to do all things through him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is what we live for. Because Jesus says, because I live, you can live also.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
okay.
Man.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so. That's what it is. So, if Jesus was God rose you from the dead, that we can face anything there is to challenge us. We can overcome all challenges since God raised you from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our victory. Our victory is in Christ, not in ourselves.
Right. So, and then look, you have blind faith because you still waiting on Keisha to come along, right?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. You hit it right on point. Yeah, you're right.
Come on, bro, let it out. Let it out, bro.
She a piece of work.
I mean, everybody a piece of work.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be stable and. Just trying to be balanced with God with that, because I'm not trying to be too anxious to see her again, where it's up to him for her to come back to me again whenever he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. I trust her to come back to me again, like she said, since I trust God to bring her back to me again, like God said.
Mm-hmm.
One of those big examples that you put out in the open. So I just want to just confirm about how you think about that. Since we talk about Keisha a lot, how we are have the same mindset about where I stand with her, that you understand in your ways, where I understand in my ways also.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, because, you know, everybody, huh? Oh, no, I was just going to say that, you know, we all want to be with somebody, but we want to be with the people that God wants us to be with. So it's going to take a little longer because he's working on both of us at the same time. Like, he's working on the man and the woman. And, you know, when he bring them together, it's going to be something that's so beautiful because it's something that God brought together, not something that, you know, people brought together on their own. Because when people bring it together on their own, it really doesn't last. God is not the center of it. You know, God is here and there with it. And it's like when God brings two people together, it's ministry involved.
Right. Marriage is ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because marriage worships God.
Exactly. And then you have to learn each other too, still in the process. It's like you're not going to know everything about each other in one big old, like, you know, piece. So it's like we go back to that. God gives you things in bits and pieces. Like, oh, he
doesn't like a puzzle. It's like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And guess what? Sometimes I want the whole puzzle, Jesus.
You know, sometimes it's like a Porsche. It's like a saying, Jesus. I can say, I say, Jesus, give me the whole puzzle.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that, give me the puzzle completely done.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if I give you the puzzle already completed, then that means that I'm doing the work for you.
Wow.
But I want to do the work. I want to do the work through you. So now I'm teaching you how to build your puzzle. Every now and then, where you can learn through a process. So the process that I'm giving you on how to build your full puzzle comes with patience. So
wow,
you have to be
yeah.
patient with me. You have to be patient with me as I teach you how to complete a puzzle. When you're anxious, I want to hurry up and get things done where everything is timing to it,
mm-hmm.
which I make. So if God makes time for us, then we are made for the time.
Wow. Well put, bro. I like that. And the thing you said, too, is like, if he do give us the whole picture, he does do it for us. So what? We won't need faith. We won't need patience. We won't
right.
learn. Actually, we won't learn the fruits of the Spirit, basically, if you
right.
really look at it that way.
Right. And we won't be a partaker.
Exactly.
We won't be a participant.
Mm-hmm.
Of what God is doing, because God is doing all the work for us, but He does more through us than for us, because that is where we know our part and who we are. When God shows it to us, when God uses us more than what He does for us, because if God does things for us, that will reveal His glory. But if we do things through God, then God will give us the glory. God gives us we are the glory of. The Bible talks about how God is revealing the glory in us.
Oh, wow, yes.
So if God is glorified in us, that means to me, that God is working through us. And if God is working through us, then God's glory is revealed at the very end. So now we give God the praise.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, man, you got to give him the praise, or that's all he wants from us. Like, you know, he's going to make everything happen. He wants us to praise, worship, but worship in spirit and in truth, though. Like, don't be fake and phony with it. You got to come to God wholeheartedly, truth, raw, no
yeah.
faking, no shaking, none of that, because with
right.
God, he exposes everything, and you know he's gonna expose the good as well as the bad too. So it's like you might as well come in there and be you with the gospel wherever you go. Be you, you know. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Just be you, because whoever gonna accept you, gonna accept you. Who is not who not gonna accept you? They just not gonna accept you, and that's just period, point blank.
Right. Because here's the crazy part about it, of course. People are added to your test.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only am I dealing with a situation, but also on top of that, I'm dealing with people. So
mm-hmm.
people who don't want to talk to me when I talk to them add
mm-hmm.
to my frustration or my frustration.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I'm frustrated through people, but the more my frustration gets on my situation that God has me in, that deals with people, because people are added to your trial.
Mm-hmm.
So not only am I going through a situation of pain and frustration and hurt, but also I'm dealing with people who are anti-God, who are in my space where I am a representative of God to people.
Mm-hmm.
So when I represent myself, when I represent God to people, where I show my spirituality to them, and they don't want to give me any spiritual feedback, expression, behavior, then that spirit is of the devil, which is anti-Christ, anti-God, that comes against me, who I serve, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Which not only gives me the frustration, but also gives me the irritation of people not giving me the love back to me when I give them love the way God wants me to love, since I walk with God, even in the situation that God has me in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's deep right there. Like, you know, because in a lot of cases, you do find yourself giving out love and people are not reciprocating it back. But it's still like, you know, I can't go based off what other people don't give me to determine my walk with God or what he wants me to continue to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you don't want to accept the love, you know, I'm going to go to somebody else. You just missed your blessing.
Yep.
And it's like,
I believe that anyone who represents God to the fullest every day is always a blessing.
Amen. Amen. But then you have to come to people. I'm not saying everybody don't have pure hearts that do talk about God, but I'm just saying some people have to like really work on their heart. It's not all about. I mean, so God wants you to minister to people, but he also wants you to be correct. I mean, we're not going to always be perfect, but if you know you have heart issues and certain things you need to work on, you got to work on that because it does affect your effectiveness when you're talking to people about God.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes the enemy can try to corrupt your image where he tries to distort how you look in the eyes of God, where he blames God on the way you look on the bad side of you, which tried to stop me from worshiping God. Remember we talked about the image and likeness of God?
Yeah.
And then I was reading in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3 where the serpent beguiled Eve. That means to deceive. Beguile means to deceive. So Adam took his wife's apple and he ate it and he disobeyed God. And then God told Adam, since you disobeyed me, then you're going to be turned to dust for which you came from. So the devil tries to mess up how we look like in the eyes of God as well, not only to Adam, but also to us today.
Right.
And so he doesn't want us to walk with God. He wants us to be in our mess of sin. And he wants us to be just blaming God on how we are. So we can stop serving God, serving him instead of God. But the devil is a lie.
Exactly. He sure is. And we're gonna send him back to the pits of hell because, you know, what's going on right now in today's, right now, God has the whole world in one big old situation right now. You know, it's like not person is in a situation, not just that person, but it's like the whole world. And what I take it back to is like, look at people in third world countries. This is what they deal with on a daily basis. What we're dealing with right now in this pandemic, you know?
Yeah. Just imagine no food. That's called famine. And pestilence and people dying off of starvation and baby boys or baby girls being super, super, super skinny and all that stuff, mm-hmm. dying of hunger, all the and mm-hmm. age, all that stuff.
Mhm.
Yeah. So, plus the pandemic.
Uh huh.
My God. That adds on to it.
Exactly, but
that adds on to the stress.
But that's why we got to stand on His word. So, now look at it this way: for many people that this pandemic is affecting, and a lot of people are not standing on the word, oh, they're going through some things right now.
I mean, everybody is. Who's not?
But
if you're human.
But a lot of people ain't standing on the word, though. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true, 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 for so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people ain't even in the word. They trying to get back to the church to get the word from the pastor.
Oh my God, they never get it.
God, like, no, you gonna get this word. I'm working this out right now. You can't depend on a pastor right now. It's me and you right now. We gonna get this relationship together between me and you before I send you back over there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a lot of people don't. And this, where we in right now, Jonathan, is testing where a lot of people's relationship with God is at. How strong it is, how weak it is, what you need to work on, and what you need to fix within yourself.
Yeah. All that God is here, strip you and see where your heart is.
Exactly. This is the time when this is what He's doing. And it's like, if you don't have that relationship with Him, you are very clueless of what He's doing right now. Very clueless.
Never to wipe you out.
Man, when I say wipe you out, just like on that show Wipe Out, where are they going through all them, you know. Have you seen that show Wipe Out?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, they go through many obstacles, and sometimes they they get punched off into the water and stuff.
Oh, okay. What is that one? What is that called? Wipe Out?
Uh-huh, yeah, it's called Wipe Out. Mm-hmm. If you just go on, like, YouTube and see, like, certain episodes, like, they go through different obstacles.
Is that like a game?
Yeah, it's like a game that they go through one person at a time, and or sometimes it's a lot of people at one time going through it, different
like six,
obstacles
seven.
They have to.
Yeah.
I think so. Uh-huh, it's something like that.
He'll wipe you out like a plate.
Man. Won't he? Man, he'll wipe you clean if you don't get it together. So he's going to make you get it together one day, one way or the other. If you don't want to do it this way, okay, I'll let you go by for a minute. I'm coming back to get you again. Oh, you don't want it? And it's going to reoccur until you get what he's trying to get you to understand and learn. And what he's doing in this pandemic, I want you to lean on me. I want to do it. Don't depend on other people to do it for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what a lot of people do. They're not depending on God. They're depending on other people to keep them strengthened or, you know, to get them to where God wants them to go. But it's like, if you don't seek ye first the kingdom, then how you going to get the kingdom blessings? Like I was telling my mom the other day, a lot of people want the kingdom blessings but don't want to learn the kingdom blessings.
The kingdom blessings come from kingdom principles.
Mhm. Exactly.
Unless there's a principle, there's no way of doing things with the kingdom of God so they can get the blessing of what you need that only God can give you. Would He know what you need before you ask?
Exactly. Like, you know, Lord, I need $1 million. Not just saying, but...
Oh, God. He's so funny.
Nah, but for me, what I learned walking with God, though, it's not about the money. It's about helping people get out of certain situations that they go deep in. Because, you know, like, even with the homeless, you know, they... you know, they don't sometimes know where their next meal gonna come from, or who gonna help them out with this, or who gonna, you know, have a heart to feed them, or, you know, who, where they gonna wash up at and all that stuff. Because when I was working down there in downtown LA, I mean, I used to see so many homeless people. Like, you could just, you could tell when people just out of it. Like, you know, you could tell. One time I was rolling down Century, downtown Century, I mean Central, with my cousin. And it was a dude sitting on a curb just hitting himself in the head. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, you know, something is going on mentally with him that he's just, why are you pounding your head like that, you know? And it's like they don't, a lot of homeless people don't have a relationship with God. And it's like it's hard for them to even come out of that state of mind, you know. Once you get too deep in something and you don't have God on your side, it's very hard to fight your way out of it.
I think now it is spirit.
It was.
I think, yeah, yeah.
That was a spirit. But how can he fight that spirit off if he have no connection with God?
The devil got him in a hole.
Exactly. And he have a lot of people in the hole.
And he does.
And it's like, you know, you could tell people certain stuff for so long, but it has to be a time to where people have to want to get it for themselves. And if they don't want to get it for themselves, then, you know, they'll never come out the pit or the grave. You know, they'll be stuck in there.
Or the muck.
Huh?
Out of the muck.
Like, you know, it's a spiritual warfare. And you can't fight things in the natural because those are two different rhythms. Like, man, it gets hard out here. And it's like God softens your heart to help people. No matter how people are, no matter what people do, just help people. And, you know, God works on everybody. He works on a lot of people. But if you just show people that kindness and that love, and then, you know, they could walk more by faith than not by sight. Or, like, there really is a God. You know, look, people coming to me, helping me. And, you know, if they just see a little bit of care in the world, people will have that little care that you show people will bring a lot of different perspectives and outlooks for them at times.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's just, it hurts to see people out there like that. But a lot of people don't want a relationship with God.
But you have to, I mean, you can't do nothing. And that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is pray.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the blood of Jesus will rebuke that spirit and it will depart from him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pray for him. I'm like, you know, I wasn't praying. I had to sit in the car and pray for him while we rolling past, and he hitting himself in the head. I'm like, wow, man,
yeah.
I don't
and
know
you
what.
Said
he,
this,
I,
you said this was in LA.
Yeah, it was downtown LA. If you go downtown LA, you'll see people then set up like tents. They then put furniture and tents and beds and dressers and you know out. Mm-hmm.
I remember in 2018, 2017. I would catch the 950
mm-hmm.
off of the Harbor Gateway Center in Gardena,
mm-hmm.
across the street from Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take me to downtown LA, and I would catch the 720.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take me to my school that I went to, and I was every day when I go back home I cross the park where a whole lot of homeless people, like maybe 100 people,
mm-hmm.
like on that one block. I passed through to go back home, and there were like homeless people with tents.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, couches and what they even had, like the dogs, like
mm-hmm.
they had their dog with them too. Like a couple of people had a couple of dogs. I remember when I was going home one day, I came across this one guy, and this policeman was there, and he was lying on the ground, like on his, but he was sitting on his butt, like leaning on against some type of wall, and he had a black eye.
Wow.
He had a black eye. And when I got home, oh yeah, that same day when I was going there, my auntie friend called me, and he said, "No, yes, I didn't answer the phone because it got to me. Did not answer the phone because his caller ID came on my phone." And God told me, do not answer the phone. And this was like in the morning time. Because I left around at 6 o'clock in the morning every day. So I go home. Remember now, when I go home, I saw the homeless guy with the black eye. And when I got home, I came in, and he comes in the house, and he comes punching on me. He starts punching on me. And I said, "Jesus, I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose and was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus died for my sins and he was buried and rose again the third day. Jesus died for my sins, buried and rose again the third day." And I remember, so I went in the restroom and had me a black eye. I mean, my eye was, like, completely shut.
Wow.
And when I went in my room to listen to my radio, the woman on the radio talked about Paul being beaten. I can explain it, but the reason why I came across that guy with the black eye was because I was going to get a black eye. And my auntie came in the house. And my auntie came in the house, and she told me, she said, "How did who did that to you? How did you get that black eye?" And I told her, "I don't know. Somebody just came and just beat me. I don't know who. It was a spiritual thing." I can't explain it, of course, but
why didn't you tell her the truth?
Well, I did tell the truth. I can explain it. It's something spiritual. It was hard to explain it. Because if the police told the guy who hit you, and he's like, he was like yeah, it wasn't all cold, but he was like in bad shape. And I'm like, he couldn't even talk. So the police lady was writing a note about his condition, about his, what happened to him. I don't know what happened to him, but. Because I just passed by. And so every morning, I would listen to the Steve Harvey show at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know that one?
Yeah.
It was from 6 to 10. Every morning, I would listen to him. And ever since I started to go in downtown L.A., the school in downtown L.A., I would listen to the Christian station. I think it was like 99.5, something like that.
Something like that.
So I wonder how I got way over there, but
God take us some places to see certain things and, you know, open our eyes to certain things, right?
Yeah. So I remember.
Wait, Jonathan, hold on. You said that your auntie friend punched on you. Did you say he gave you a black eye? Was I mistaken of what I heard?
He did give me a black eye. He did.
And you told your auntie
but
he did?
It was in revelation of what the homeless guy was when I passed through the. When I was in LA going home, like I said, I saw the homeless guy with the black eye. and he was beaten up very badly, and the police were talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I saw him like that was because that was supposed to be me later on in the future.
Right.
And that's why it happened when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I got home, he comes in the house and just start punching on me.
Okay, let's stop right there. But you never told your what did your auntie do about it? Nothing?
Well, she just gave me an icy on my eye.
But you told her he did it, right?
No, I told her when she asked me, how did you get the black guy who punched you? And I told her, I said, I don't know who hit me. Somebody, I don't know who hit me. I said something like that. And she just said, because when she was talking to me, her friend was there too in the kitchen. They were both in the kitchen talking to me. And,
mm-hmm.
Well, she was the only one who was talking to me, but he was around her. He was around when she was talking to me. And I told her, I said, I don't know who hit me, but somebody, I think I told her that some people, I think either I told her that somebody jumped me or somebody just hit me where I had no idea who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because that homeless man had no idea who punched on him in this condition, and that was me in the future.
But you knew who did it, though.
Yeah, I did know. But I didn't lie. It's hard to explain it.
No, bro, it ain't hard to explain it. You should have told your auntie the truth. I think that you were scared because he was there, so that's why you didn't say it was him, or you didn't feel that she was going to do anything about it. That's why you didn't say anything. So you just left it alone, and that's what you can't do that, bro. You can't. You got to be no, because that's why people take advantage of you. You have to be real with people, like, you know. I mean, he might not have liked that you told her that, but that was something that you were supposed to be real about, Jonathan. That's why people do you like that. That's why people take advantage of you. People going to punch on you. No, ain't nobody finna – you're not a punching bag, so that was not right for him to do that. That's why I had to have you reiterate that. Like, wait, hold up. Woo, 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 woo. Go back. Rewind it. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's why I'm like, yeah. I know I wasn't, you know, hearing wrong. But, no, don't let people do you like that, Jonathan. No, you're not a punching bag, bro. Like, you a human being just like everybody else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, you know, people.
It was when I was listening to the radio, the lady,
mm-hmm.
when I went in the restroom to look at my eye, and it was when it was completely closed, I was so shocked that I went in my room, I cut
mm-hmm.
the radio on, and the lady, remember now, I'm listening to the sermon every day I walk out before I walk out the house. So it's always
mm-hmm.
on the same station. So when I turned the radio on, when I turned radio on that day, the lady was talking about how Paul was being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like she was talking about me because I was persecuted.
Yeah.
You see now?
That was you were persecuted, you were disrespected. That was not cool at all, you know? And why I think he did that, because, like, he know that you're not gonna probably, you know, step back up to him and, you know, punch him back, you know, and that's why he did that, because he know you wasn't gonna punch him back, and he know for sure that you wasn't gonna tell your auntie about that. I know for sure he knew you wasn't gonna do that, because it's like what I'm seeing is like, are you scared of him? Do you fear him?
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Okay. Because I'm saying, like,
a fighter.
No, it's not even being a fighter, though. Like, because, you know, certain people take advantage of certain people when they know that they're not going to strike back. That's what I'm trying to say, you know? And it's like, in your situation, like, you know, he punching on you why, main reason, because you didn't answer the phone. And it's like, you're not my dad, you know, you're my auntie's, you know, friend. So it's like, right. Respect me like you want respect. Don't punch on me. You could have talked to me, asked me why I didn't answer my phone.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been the other way around, him punching you, giving you a black eye. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It just.
It's all right, bro. You know? That's why God got you. You're covered by God.
Yeah.
You're covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's why you stay in your word so much, because it's a lot of stuff that you do go through, and you need to stay on that word. Because a lot of people don't understand you, Jonathan. You're very different, you know, in your own little way. Right.
Right.
So it's like, you know, people don't understand you, and then you have people that do take advantage of you because they know you're a smooth guy in your own little way, you know, and like, oh, Jonathan, oh, he ain't going to do nothing, so I'm going to punch on him, give him a black eye. But no, man, don't let people take advantage of you like that, Jonathan. You know, God, I know God got him back in his time and anyway with that, you know.
I remember, I was talking to Kim someday, and she hardly took up the phone. I think she really called. when I was talking to her one day, I told her that when I was in the hospital, I told my prophet friend. I said to her, when I was in my bedroom, if I was watching a movie, a rated R movie, and I got tired, so I'll go to bed, and my door is open, and I mean, the noise was like super, super loud. And I heard guns, bleeding people. I heard guns, knife stabbing people and people's backs. I heard like people yelling. I heard people getting shot. I heard like blood being shedded or bleeding people. And of course, and I felt the Holy Ghost on me. I felt a spark. I felt a spark forehead. And when I was feeling a spark on my forehead, my head was bobbing up and down, up and down. And I had to wipe my spark off my forehead so I can get out of this feeling again. And the bloody, violent, warfare, physical combat was so intense that I was very, very uncomfortable. And the Lord revealed to me that was the super gigantic ultimate rated R of the Passion of Christ. So that movie was super ultra gigantic rated R, and rated R means rated raw. So the sufferings of Christ was so raw that it goes beyond all people who would ever suffer in this life. So when he punched me on my face, that is no comparison on how they treated Jesus. I cannot even imagine how rated R the sufferings of Jesus was. They punched on him constantly. They spat upon him. They blindfolded him and struck him in the face. And they mocked him and they nailed him to the cross. So, of course, all I'm saying is that Jesus suffered like none other that anybody can ever, ever imagine in the whole entire life.
So,
you know what I say about Jesus suffering on that cross? I've been saying this for years. What Jesus suffered on that cross is what we experience through our trials that we go through, our long suffering. How he was nailed in his hand, how he had the thorns on his head. Because everything we experience with God, you feel like it. Sometimes it feels like thorns is sticking you, like all in your spirit and soul, and like even in your ears. Sometimes go ahead.
It's like on my spiritual scalp.
Man, and it's like, oh, sometimes my ears, I'd be like, oh, what's going on? Like, my ears, like, it's thorns in my ears? Like, come on, like. And it's crazy,
yeah,
though, because, like, right, what he suffered on that cross is the same thing we suffering in our life right now.
Yeah.
That's why.
And also, they whipped him. They whipped him unmercifully.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They made him a bloody mess.
Exactly.
They made him a bloody bat. They made a blood bat out of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they would have whipped him one more time, they would have killed him.
But look, it goes back to your situation, right? That you had to experience with him punching on you in the eye and stuff like that, you know, like that was some crucial stuff to experience. And it's like people are out here in the world, not even just with you, like with a lot of other people in certain ways, how, you know, people are taking advantage of people that, you know, may not, like you said, I'm not a fighter. That's not a fighter,
right.
Or that's not confrontational. And just imagine how many people are going through that, you know. And it's sad to see that in the world. And it's a lot, like people, like the Bible says, a lot of people speak of me, but their hearts are far from me. So just because a person speaks of God does not mean that their heart is with God.
That's right. Or even walk with God in that sense.
Exactly. So it's like you really have to have that, and that's why the relationship with God is very important to have. Because, like, look in your situation. If you didn't stay in your word as much as you did, something like that probably would have drove you crazy, you know?
Because
you stay in your word so much. I mean, I know that's not the only thing that you've been through. It's probably other things that you probably haven't even spoke to anybody about that you've been through throughout your walk. Out of your, what, you 30, right? 30 years? 29 years?
I'm 30. I'll be 33 in April.
Oh, okay. Well, 33. So out of 33 years, that was just one of your experiences that you had. And I know it's plenty more. You know what I'm saying? Because the more that we go through stuff, the more we get deeper in that word with God. Like, because he's the only one that can keep our hearts right. Let me get back to this word. Yeah, what they doing to me ain't right. So just let me go back to the word. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So I don't have to fight back. Like, you didn't fight back. You know what I'm saying? But God got him in some way. He didn't even see it coming back.
Yeah.
And he probably still getting them. And he don't even know why certain things happening in his life. It's because of how he treating you. You know what I mean? People don't understand. Like, you have to watch how you treat people, because it comes back on you in ways that you won't even expect it to come back. So you have to be out here reaping what you, if you want to reap certain things, you have to sow certain things. You're not going to reap good if you're out here sowing bad things. God don't work like that.
I just, you know, if Jesus didn't go through what he went through, I wouldn't even be going through what I'm going through, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And mentally also.
No, you're
because
right.
The sufferings of Calvary is what makes me to go through what I go through. They gave me the strength to overcome everything that comes my way.
Exactly.
So this cross gives me victory in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when Bishop said he said that Jesus died hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was hard for him to die because he didn't want to face his destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because his destiny, his destiny was to be separated from God so they can die for sinners.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He didn't want to die. He didn't want to die because he didn't want to be separated from the Father that was
mm-hmm.
in him.
Mm-hmm.
So if God forsakes his son, then he won't do the same for me.
Exactly. What did he say? He'll never leave nor forsake us.
Right. I mean, I trust God. I can bang on that.
What
even,
you say,
even,
bro?
Even when I don't feel good. Even when I don't. I like it when this song is called I Trust You by, is it called Fortune?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. What's his name? Hold on a minute. Let me go to him. Let me go on my tablet. Let me see.
That is for Fortune. I mean, is that Fortune or James Fortune, right?
Yeah, James Fortune. Yeah, James Fortune. Yeah, here it is. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
let me see. Okay. I can shoot. So he was saying this song talks about how I trust you, Lord, even when I don't see that you're very near.
Yeah, you have to. I'll trust
yeah,
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, I trust you when it feels like you're so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, he does. That's my song right there.
Here it is. Here it is.
That's that worship song, Jonathan.
Find yourself in a storm. While in that storm, it seems like everyone in you got stripped down and they walk away. Sometimes it seems like you and God himself have gotten about you. But in spite of that, you'll still be able to lift your hand. Lord, I love you.
This is real talk, baby girl. A real talk.
No, it is. It really is. That's my song. I didn't cry so many times to that song, bro.
Oh, for real. Yeah.
I surrender to you. You gotta surrender.
Yeah,
I trust you, Lord. It's not easy. What do you say? It's not easy. But I trust you. I need to know you're here with me. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're here with me. You're here with all of us.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like God is so far away sometimes. But God is close. God is more close than he is than I'm more than I think he is.
He is, Jonathan, and that's what I'm learning too. Lord, I trust you. I need to know you here with me. And he's saying, baby girl, I am here with you. Even, what do they say? The teacher is always quiet during the test. Baby, I need to trust you. I need to see if you trust me. So I can't always speak. I just need to see if you have faith, that blind faith, and keep walking this walk with me.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what to say to that one. That's a tough one. Remember I told you my darkest hour?
Mm-hmm.
Where my heart was broken and my mind was so weighed down that I was so stressed that I had an emotional breakdown. When my heart was so heavy, I started crying very, very hard.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it was almost like my spirit was broken.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
My mind. Yeah, my spirit was broken.
Mm-hmm.
My spirit was broken. And I was so depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but it came suddenly on me when I was picking my weeds in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I was listening to my music. I think it was gospel. I believe it was gospel music, too. Gospel music I was listening to that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I wasn't going to make it. I felt like I wasn't going to make it through. Mm-hmm. It's like I was on my wit's end. I was on a thread.
Mhm.
Like one more pull, I'm gonna snap.
Mhm.
So at the end, God delivered me from all my afflictions.
Mhm.
And I came out powerful at the end.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Bishop was talking about how he was talking about, do you know him? And he was saying that, he said, you have to teach me how to, he said, what did he say? He said, he teaches you how to suffer in order to have power. Because at the end of your suffering comes your power.
Amen. No, that's true, you know. That's why sometimes, you know, you want to be around people, but it's sometimes you have to consecrate yourself. You have to have that time with God. You have to spend that time with God, because amount of things that you go through is that a lot of people can't get you out of that. You know, like I said earlier, it's only certain people that can dig you out of certain pits and graves. Everybody don't got that power. You know, so I have that relationship with God. I have to make sure it's strong.
That day, I was so alone physically, emotionally, and I felt like I was alone spiritually. And I had nobody to depend on because I was literally by myself picking the weeds in the backyard of the house. And all I can think about, I don't think I was thinking about anything. I was just thinking about how much pain I was feeling in my mind, and in my heart, and in my soul. Because the way I was feeling was as if I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Oh man, Jesus!
I felt like I wasn't gonna make it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I wasn't gonna come through.
I've been in those positions too, bro. You're not the only one that experienced that, and we're not the only one that experienced that either. That's why I said certain things that we go through. Sometimes it don't feel like God's gonna bring us out, but He's like, that goes back to that blind faith and that trusting in Him that whatever you go through, I'm still gonna bring you out. I just need you to learn. I just need you to be strengthened in this area. I need you to be wiser. I need something from you in this level that I'm using you, because when I get to where I'm really gonna use you, you need to be equipped to where I'm taking you, because where I'm taking you, it's gonna be a lot of warfare. So I need you equipped to handle that warfare. So won't take you out, but you'll take it out, you know?
Right, yeah. It's something like, you're the one putting out the fire.
Exactly, not the fire putting me out. No, because you say what? My child, who was that was in the pit? Daniel was in the lion's den, but he didn't come out smelling like smoke. He didn't come out burnt up or nothing, you know? Because God was covering him the whole time. He was in the fire. So in our situations, that's the same thing. He's still covering us.
Right.
And sometimes it feel like you are getting burnt up. Like, hold up, Jesus, pull the water, let it rain, you know? Cool me off, Jesus, cool me off. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like he still has that shield around us. No matter what we go through, no matter who do us wrong, who don't accept us, yes. who neglect us, who disrespect us,
reject
God
us.
Still covers
reject.
Us. Right, reject you. I still got you. That's why he say, depend on me. Don't depend on man, because man will hurt you all the time, you know. Depend on
yeah.
God,
and man
not
will
man.
Change. Man will flip on you.
Exactly.
They'll make a
Go.
Switch.
Exactly. Right. You know, and God doesn't switch. God don't switch on us, you know. He don't, you know. No matter what
yeah.
we go through,
God
ain't going to switch
God,
us on you.
God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
There you go. And there you
he
go.
He never
That's
changes. He's the same. He never changes.
No. No, he doesn't. Like you just said, people will switch, but God won't. Because God is not he's not a light switch. You can't turn him on and off. He
right.
stays on all the time, even when we, like you said, can't feel him.
He's
alive, like, Lord,
he's
where
he's
are
light
you?
Of the world.
Exactly.
He's the light of the world.
So how can he be turned off then, if he's the light of the world? You the light of the world. Can't nobody turn your light switch off but God.
Yeah. yeah.
You know? Period.
You know,
Period.
Sometimes the devil wants us to, he tries to cut our light off.
Because,
you know,
but
Jesus,
you said the key
Jesus.
Word, though. Try.
What?
He would
yeah, the
try
devil
to cut
is
it off.
Trying to put out our light.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why we got to keep that faith, stand on that word.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Jesus says, I want you to have the light while you can keep. He says, I want you to be the light when, as long as you have the light.
Exactly. And what he say in his Bible, a light that's on the hill can't be hidden. I know I'm not saying it right, but you
yeah,
know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
right,
I'm
right. Yeah, 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 yeah. A light that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Something like that.
Right. We on the same page. So we get it. We might not be saying it correctly, but we get each other.
Stupid.
Yeah, we on the same page, bro. We gonna get it one day together
yeah.
correctly, but we know what we talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, but, that's real talk because the devil don't want us to have the devil don't want us to be seen of our good work that is worked in Christ.
Exactly. Oh no, bro, he said a city on a hill can't be hidden, right?
Right.
You're right. There we go. See, look, he just brought it back to me.
yeah. Yep.
Oh my God.
It's almost like what?
What?
It's
go ahead.
Here's that light car on the mountain.
What do you mean?
What is the light car on the mountain where it's by the ocean?
Oh, I don't
know.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't quite figure it out.
Is that about the name of it or the description of it?
The name of it.
Yeah, I don't think I never knew the name of it. But
it's not the lighthouse,
is it?
What
it looks like, I just can't tell you what it was.
It's not a lighthouse, right?
I think it is a lighthouse. I believe that's what it's called, a lighthouse.
I believe, yeah, that's what it is, because he's giving me the vision of it. So I think it's the lighthouse is what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jesus is the lighthouse where he makes all those people shine when the enemy tries to put it out. The key word is, like
exactly.
you said, is to try, but he'll never succeed.
Exactly, exactly. You're right about that. And look, bro, we are definitely out of time on the radio show, but you know we gonna always talk about God regardless, period, right? But what I want to tell you is, look, stop letting people take advantage of you, bro. You know, you ain't just anybody. You know, it don't matter who they are,
right?
Friends, family, whoever. Don't let them disrespect you. You know, come at you foul. You know, you got the mouthpiece. Me and my mom always told you this. You have to speak
yeah.
up for yourself. You have the word of God in you. You can't be touched, period.
Right.
So if you feel anybody coming foul against you, speak up for yourself. God gave you, God didn't give you a mouth for nothing just to be quiet when people disrespecting you or coming against, not coming against you, but disrespecting you when they not treating you right. God gave you a mouth to speak up for yourself, because if you don't, it'll continue to happen to you. You know what I mean? Until Jonathan speaks up. You, like my mom always tell you, Jonathan, you have too much word in you to be quiet and not stand up for yourself. You being your word too much to be quiet when people are just treating you badly. And she, my mom never told you a lie. I never told you a lie. We always keep it real with you. Stand up for yourself, bro. Because people will continue to do you like that if you let them. Stop letting them. Because that's the only reason they're doing it, because you let them. You have to put your feet down. You a man. You 33 years old.
Right.
You're not a child. You know?
No.
You speak up for yourself, Jonathan. You have it in you. God gave you the boldness. You in his word. It's in you. God is not going to let anybody harm you just for speaking up for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a good guy. You got a good heart. You love the Lord. Just stop letting people take advantage of you and treating you any kind of way. Even though God is going to get them, because he said, vengeance is mine, so I shall repay. You have to speak up for yourself too, though. He's going to handle his part, but Jonathan needs to handle his part by speaking up for himself, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so, bro, pray us
that.
Out. Huh?
I said I received that.
Okay. That's good, man.
I'll pray you out.
You're good. Go ahead. You're a good guy, man.
Father. Oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. Father God, we pray that you keep us in your will and you keep our minds stayed on you. And we pray that we stay in your word and we pray that you keep us prayed up. And we pray that we stay in your covenant relationship to us, and we pray that you will give us the victory over the enemy by your revelational word that is in your book. And we pray that you give us victory over our own selves and others. And we pray that we stay in your will and your purpose. And we pray that you will take out anything that is not like you. And we take it out and we put it in the devil's hand and we put the devil back in hell. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. And we're going to tell the devil to bounce back. You can't touch God's kid, devil. You can't touch us. So we fireproof. You can't touch us. That part right there.
Yeah.
Okay, but this was a great session, bro. I'm glad you came on because you really needed that. You know, let that stuff out of you, because the more, you know, it piles up, the more hard it is to bear certain things, you know. But when we release it, you feel like a lot of heaviness off you, or you feel a lot of things released off your spirit. You know what I mean? And it's like I got a lot of things weighing me down, because sometimes I can't vent to everybody. I can't talk to everybody. And it's like God is going to bless you, bro, tremendously. Just like I said, remember when I said when he started, it's going to be like a domino effect. It's, everything is just going like the dominoes when you lay them out and they just. So just get ready.
Yeah.
Just get ready. And like I say, sometimes, you know when to talk, know when to be quiet. That's the thing we all got to learn. Know when to talk, know when to be quiet. Right.
Right.
So I thank you for coming on this show. We always going to talk, and you have a great rest of your day, bro. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.